You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of No Other Pod.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to, I think, my favorite victory pod of the year. I'm Jimmy, along with my good buddy Dan. This is not just a victory pod. This is not just a playoff pod, but this is the We Eliminated St. Louis City SC from the playoff pod. Dan, what's going on, my friend?
Bro,
I'm repping KU.
I'm composed, man. I'm not even like that excited. Psych! Psych, bitches! this is so exciting, dude. Shit, oh my God. I know that we're like, MLS Cup doesn't even matter now, but it kind of matters. But we're playing with house money, and to get this done, to be in this position right now, I know all of you are feeling exactly what we're feeling. I mean, it has taken a lot to not be obnoxious online.
You don't think we have?
Has our Twitter account been doing things?
I don't know if it's been obnoxious, but hey,
We've been stirring. We were like, hello, Fott. We were like,
a little bit of stirring, a little swizzling.
I'm fine with it because let me tell you right now, these amazing St. Louis City supporters have done nothing but tell us all year that they are God's gift to the sport. And it's just,
they invented soccer.
Buddy, you mentioned our first time playing them. You're like, they've outperformed their metrics. It's going to come crumbling down. Have you ever had a bigger dose of I told you so in your life? How are you feeling after that? You're like, I've been preaching this for months now, and then it comes to fruition, and you're like, I must know a fucking thing or two.
At the best possible time. And it started to come to fruition after League's Cup. They had, two wins after League's Cup, something like that?
Yeah.
Three wins, maybe. They started crashing back down. They lost their last two games. You look at the score lines from both times that we played at St. Louis in the regular season, 4-0, 4-1. But you look at what the metrics say. Those weren't 4-0 games. Those weren't 4-1 games. That's more on how Sporting Kansas City didn't perform than on how St. Louis City did perform. And all it had to do was SKC had to play their game, and Peter had to coach his coaching style. And he made a couple of little tweaks here and there that we talked about last week. And it came to fruition I should have looked this up ahead of time, because there was a point, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months ago, somewhere around there, on this very podcast where we talked about when playoffs seemed like possibility, but still a ways off, and we weren't quite sure. And we said, can you imagine if we sneak into the playoffs in a wild card, we get through that wild card game, and then we get St. Louis City, and we're the ones to knock them out of the playoffs? Look at us.
Look, who would have thought, dude? I'm so giddy. I mean, I'm not much of a sports crier, but man, does it feel good. I mean, we're going to unpack a lot, guys. I hope we keep it under an hour, but I had experience yesterday. Marissa's been my secretary, by the way. I've been like, take a memo, Gladys. And just things I would say in the car or at the game, like, there's so many
leaving
times
yourself voice notes. Remember,
but there's so many times on this podcast where I'm like, man, I wish I remembered to say that to Jimmy. Like, I forgot, 2 days ago, whenever the game was. But Marissa wrote them all down and sent them to me last night, and I screenshotted those bastards. So I've got stuff to say.
Amazing. Well, we're gonna get into it. We're gonna get into the stuff that happened before the game. We kind of got called out, but not really, but kind of by somebody in St. Louis.
We kind of got to back it up, don't we? We kind of got to do a little previously on.
but we did get a new review last week after we recorded, and I want to give a shout-out to our new reviewer. So I know you got pulled up right there, so why don't you go ahead and read it.
Bro, Darby Hawk right there. Darby Hawk came in, said, great pod, gave it 5 stars, and said, just found this podcast, and it's great. Keep it up. Darby Hawk, welcome from under a rock, buddy. Because we're glad to have you. I knew this might happen too. As Sporting gets into the playoffs, we might be attracting some new listeners.
Yeah.
And welcome. Strap in, because it's about to get nuts.
Yeah, there's going to be some energy in this one. And you know what? It's deserved. It's earned.
It is earned. It is just a wild time, my friend.
it was wild. And as you said previously on No Other Pod, at least on Twitter, we recorded last week.
We did.
After we beat St. Louis City SC in St. Louis, and it was a little cold. It was a little rainy. It was not ideal soccer weather conditions.
Sure.
And a couple of us, you know, pointed out, whether it's online or in our recorded podcast episode, that St. Louis City SC fans who pride themselves on setting the standard in MLS, I don't know if you've heard, but...
Best fans in soccer. Not sure if you heard that.
Not just in MLS, but around the world. they didn't stay till the end of the game, and we noticed it. And we called them out. You called them out. I called them out. We called them out. And I don't want to dwell on it too long, but somebody in St. Louis didn't like it. They called us out. They got a little back and forth. We thanked them for being a listener. Thanks for giving those downloads.
Yeah, and maybe we'll go listen to their ASMR podcast, whatever they do. It was nice of them to come out. By the way, when you said thanks for being a listener, they said, "Oh, I didn't listen."
Yeah.
It's like, no, you did, because you referenced things that were not even in the video that you posted.
It was fun because all week I could tell that Sporting wasn't getting under St. Louis's skin just on the field. Suddenly, the fan, and this we said this happened to Austin fans. They were really good their first year. They overperformed, and they're like
Atlanta fans.
God's gift to MLS. Atlanta took a little bit longer, but they got there. They always get there. And Austin
get there.
Crashed back to earth because almost the exact same story as St. Louis. They overperformed the metrics in their first year. They did much better than anybody thought. Then second year, they're calling for their coach to be fired.
Yeah, so I mean,
St. Louis is crashing.
They need a shower, bro, because it was reeking of desperation. It was not a good, it was bad.
So leading into this game, this felt to me like this is the rival that we've been missing really in this league. Because it's, you know, and we've said, to be fair, we've both been to St. Louis City SC in St. Louis. We've been to games at City Park, despite what some people say.
Something that was pointed out was that we've actually been to more away games than St. Louis City has had away games. So there you go.
So we've been there, we've seen, and we were very complimentary of their stadium, their atmosphere. It's a great place. I'm glad they're in the league. And they brought
it the whole time. Very nice guy.
They brought it to Children's Mercy Park. They showed up. There was probably 1,000 City fans there, at least. So you were right next to them.
I was. They were in my spot. They were in my space. Those are where our seats are. But some people were like, "Why are you sitting over there?" And I was like, "Those are my seats." And I had an amazing time. Don't think that was miserable for me. It was marvelous.
Yeah.
Did you see, was it Zach Cobb that posted a picture? Did you see my comment?
Yeah. It was awesome.
It's a sea of sadness. And then me just going.
Big old cheese and grin with that mustache.
Cheesing, dude. But that was the mode I was in. They were doing their chants, by the way. But they were like, what's that one chant? Can you score some goals? And I was like, the only reason we're hearing this song a million times is because they're not scoring any goals. So they're just going to keep singing it. And I was just like, nope, 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 nope.
Yeah, it's pretty. The thing is, and I pointed this out again when we played them last week, they're not inventing their own cheers. And I don't expect them to. No soccer team really invents their own cheer. Occasionally you get one, but they're not out there reinventing or creating these brand new cheers that nobody's ever heard. Yeah. Quite honestly, a lot of them remind me of what the Timbers Army sing, because they sing like the same four songs over and over. Like the "We're St. Louis City, who are you?" That's the "We're the Portland Timbers, who are you?" Like that's their go-to chant.
Right. There's no originality anymore.
Yeah. Well, no, they found out who we are. That's for sure. But I want to
get out who Logan and Denbe was.
Oh my God! Playoff Logan.
Playoff Logan's here to stay.
Just insane. We're gonna talk about Logan.
I call him the Wolverine.
It was pretty wild. But before we get into the lineups and the game and everything, you got there. I don't know exactly what time you got there, but St. Louis's section was filled by the time you got there.
I was there about 25 minutes to kick, maybe.
So, yeah. So, they were there. Teams had already come out. They were probably already chanting. At one point, I think I saw on Twitter that a St. Louis City fan tried to go over to the Capo stand in the South stand. Is that what happened?
Yes. Did you see video of this?
I saw video of it a little bit on Twitter.
First of all, you don't do that.
No.
Have some respect, have some class for the stadium you're visiting.
Right.
You are a guest in someone's home. You don't just go do that shit. I guarantee you that wouldn't fly at their place.
Oh, absolutely.
But all the comments to that video said like, oh, sport, you know, Kansas City has no class. And it's like, class? Who is this man doing this? And why did no one drop him on his ass? Why did he not get why did he not get thrown over the railing? Why did someone not take his shoes and throw him on the field? Throw his goddamn shoes. You got no shoes, bitch.
I will say I was proud of Sporting fans for getting him away and de-escalating and asserting like, hey, this is our territory, this is our ground. If he tried it in the cauldron, it might have been a different story.
You fuck around, you lose your shoes.
He did it in the south stand, and he went back. And, you know, I respect all the St. Louis City fans that showed up. I know people that work for the club. They did a good job. They created a great atmosphere. Peter Vermees even went out of his way in his post-game press conference before he took the first question from Daniel Sperry. He said, before I take questions, let me say. And then he went on a diatribe about how good St. Louis is for the league. And I think that gets back to what I was trying to say before about the rivalry, because we don't get this when we play the Chicago Fire. We don't get this when we play the Houston Dynamo. The closest thing I can think of was, you know, the 4 or 5 year period with RSL after MLS Cup, where Benny was talking about how much he hates everybody in RSL and Kyle Beckerman is trying to punch people. And there was that heated rivalry, but it didn't rise to this.
Yeah. I mean, players aren't talking shit. That's for sure. They're like, okay, this is my job. Like, I'm just going to go play soccer and try to win a game. But I tell you what, man, the fans sure like to talk shit online. Now, that goes for both sides.
Both ways.
I know some sporting people were talking shit, and so is St. Louis. And I'm like, man, you can't do that. Okay? Dude, growing up, I never talked shit when KU was in the March Madness bracket. Never. Because I knew they could lose to Bradley or Bucknell or whoever.
Also, if you're a team like KU, I mean, this is how I feel about USC football. You're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be competing. So I'm not going to sit there and brag about being in the playoffs if I expect to be in the playoffs. Now, I might brag about kicking my overeager little brother arch rival who thinks they're a little too big for their britches out of the playoffs in their first year. But
what are you bragging about these days with USC football? Anything crazy?
That we fired a defensive coordinator.
Hey, there we go. I was like, I saw they dropped out of the rankings. That can't be too exciting.
Nah, I'm not worried about that. We fired a guy. That's fine.
We don't care. Someone lost his job and can't feed his family. All right.
Yeah. Well, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. But it's just hype, bro, from both sides, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this, it's not like the Minnesota rivalry where it felt purely manufactured. I don't even call it a rivalry. Honestly, the closest it ever got to being a rivalry was when the games got a little chippy on the field, because it was like, oh, okay, there's something behind this now. But I mean, like, we're doing beer exchanges with the Loons fans before, and I go up to Minnesota and they're just like truly living up to their name, just like the nicest people.
But then you go online, a lot of dicks.
But I mean, I never really felt that animosity with Minnesota.
Also, at the game, a lot of dicks.
Well,
good to be honest, overheard some stuff. I got notes, baby.
Yeah,
got notes.
But St. Louis, it has gone beyond a manufactured, marketed rivalry just because we're close to. It started with the podcast thing, with the cease and desist, and it continued. And St. Louis fans think they're clever by calling us Sporting Kansas. And okay, cool, it's fine. We've heard it before.
We're playing.
And now having it in a playoff series just really. You couldn't have asked for, if you're the league, a better way for this rivalry to have started. We played each other 5 times this year. We've played, what, 34 regular season games and now 3 postseason games? So 37 games in MLS play, and 5 of them are against St. Louis? That's wild.
We won the series. Best of 5, we took them out.
There were
no draws in there.
Nope.
And there was one that just mattered the most. And that was these last two.
Yep.
And it's just, oh, man, dude, call us whatever you want, Sporting Kansas. At least our name is way shorter than yours. Like, you, St. Louis City Soccer Club. Well, it's not necessary.
Well, I still don't understand why City's all caps.
You have to yell it.
But it's just, I think St. Louis, look, I will say, I think St. Louis coming into the league has been good for SKC, because I think over the last couple of games, you could tell Sporting started trying to up the pregame excitement, the game day atmosphere a little bit. Some of it's going to take a lot longer. You're not going to be able to flip over stadium concessions if they ever do that to something local overnight. You're not going to be able to flip over certain things like that. But there's a lot more going on in the plaza before the game that was happening. There's a lot more production quality and a hell of a lot more pyro that went into the pregame festivities before the last two, three games. I think they wanted to step their game up a little bit because they saw what St. Louis was doing.
Yeah, so probably so. I mean, dude, we got the flyover. We got that fireworks show every game now, which is expected. Mm-hmm. Every game. Don't take
a new
fireworks.
Song. Boom, boom, boom. Got to get loud, loud, loud.
Ooh. I don't know what that is.
But I don't know either. I think it might be Tech 9. I'm not sure. But
kind of love it.
It's pretty cool. So,
and where, dude, who's writing letters to freaking management now about the fan experience, about coaching changes? Like, who endorsed that letter back in May? Whoever did it is probably like, yeah, and we're the reason that this happened.
I mean, it is cool when you think about where we were then to where we are now. And
it's just, it feels like a different season.
Oh, absolutely.
It feels like last year. I'm not kidding.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break before we actually jump into this game, because there's a lot to talk. I know it's been 15 minutes. It's wild.
My God.
Let's talk about, let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about what happened in the actual game. So we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Buddy, you gotta love playoff soccer because now you get a hell of a break after this game, which is insane. It could work against us.
Yeah,
for us.
Yeah, we'll talk about that because Peter didn't seem too excited about that. I asked him about that specifically. He was not happy.
Oh, you did. You were also all over Tim's interview, right?
Tim Elia?
Who was it? You were like, it was just you and Tim. Like, you were in the frame of...
Oh, well, Johnny. There was Johnny. It was me.
Maybe it was Johnny.
Yeah. Someone at work said like, me today. It was just me and Johnny in the...
Yeah. I was like, what? Jimmy does not want to be on camera right now.
Do not. But let's talk about this game. We knew going into the game that
I get my notes.
St. Louis does not do well when they win the possession. Taylor Twellman put up stats of they've won like two of their games where they...
Taylor Twellman, St. Louis guy.
Yeah.
Love him.
They won like two or three of their games when they won, you know, more than half the possession this year or something like that. And they've won all sorts, eight games when they've had less than 40% of the possession or something. Clear, they are a counterattacking team.
Yeah.
And so when you looked at lineups that come out, you go, okay, you know, for them, this is kind of what they expect. They did switch it up a little bit. They had Adeniran come in alongside Klaus to start the game. That didn't happen last game. You look at our lineup, you know, there were some questionable people. Johnny Russell was technically listed as questionable. I think Gadi Kinda was listed as questionable. Jake Davis might have been listed as questionable. You knew Johnny Russell was not missing this game, especially after he didn't play in the first game. He sure as hell was not going to miss this one.
He wasn't going to allow it. He would, you know, show up with different facial hair or something and be like, I'm ready to go, coach.
But, you know, it looked like, okay, this is it. And I had a little, I'm not going to lie, I was nervous all day leading up to this game. I was not really nervous in the San Jose game. I was weirdly confident leading up to San Jose. I thought we were playing with house money last week going into St. Louis. I'm like, okay, what's the worst that's going to happen? We're going to lose 4-0. Oh no, we've done that before. It's fine. And then we won last week, but that almost made me more nervous for this game. Cause I was like, if this goes back to St. Louis, that's a big ask.
Big bummer, dude. Yeah.
So this was tough. And I would say the first 15 minutes, first 20 minutes, probably to be expected, but St. Louis looked like they were a little bit more the aggressor, I would think. They were actually, I think, shooting at the south stand, and they didn't have any true clear-cut chances, per se, but they definitely were pushing a little bit more, and Sporting was kind of weathering the storm, it felt like, for a bit.
And you knew that would be that way. One of these teams is desperate. The other team is the eighth seed. Squeezed into the playoffs after being hot garbage at the beginning of the year when pundits and fans said, this team is just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Wooden Spoon goes to Sporting. Like, they were calling it. Sporting's getting the Wooden Spoon. Done deal. If you guys don't know what that is, it's some made-up trophy for the last-place team in the league.
Yeah.
But we were heading on track for that. And so here we are, and it's like, you just got to play with that, hey, let's go have a good time. Like, we're not even supposed to be here today. Let's just go do it. And that's what they were doing, man.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you've been pointing out the stats of Fontas and Rosero next to each other at home this year in particular. They've been very good. And something's clicked over the last handful of games with this back line of Ndenbe, Fontas, Rosero, and Jake Davis, where suddenly this back four, especially with Rodoya in front of them and Melia behind them, they've been able to take away a lot of the opposing offense's key players, whether it's Christian Espinoza for San Jose, Klaus or Adeniran or Leuven for St. Louis, Giacchini for St. Louis. They're just not able. St. Louis, I don't think, had a shot on goal in the first half, even though it felt like in the first 20 minutes they were the more aggressive side.
Yeah, a lot of field goals is what they had.
That was amazing.
Guy had a lot of them.
Yeah.
But, dude, this is now Jake Davis Appreciation Podcast. This is, I say that, I feel like, every other week. That man, and I say man, because he is no longer a kid.
Oh.
We have watched him grow up,
dude,
before our eyes and be this baller, dude.
Yeah.
I watch him whip these long crosses, these long opposite field crosses, and the way he just torques his body, I'm like, okay, well, that would hurt my groin. But
yeah.
Well, he's just good.
He's great in the attack, and then maybe that's the midfielder in him that's coming out. He's really good on the ball. He's got great touch. He can pull down a switch. I'm not going to say as good as Zusi, because Zusi, I still think, is the one of the best I've ever seen at just being able to pick a ball out of midair with his foot.
But who's he? Seems like he's learned from him.
And this is the thing with Jake Davis. It's not just in the attack. I don't know that there's a defender I've seen on Sporting Kansas City, except for maybe Seth Sinovic, work as hard as Jake Davis does on the defensive end, and he does not back down to anybody. It could be Cristiano Ronaldo out there. It could be Lionel Messi out there. And I think Jake Davis would get right up on them and press and push and force them to beat him rather than giving them too much space.
While we're on the subject, not sure if you saw this, but while they were trying to speed up the, you know, the play at the end of the game and we were kind of just taking our time, letting time run out, one of the St. Louis players tosses the ball to Jake for him to throw it in, and Jake just goes, ducked him. And that was down by the cauldron end, and I saw it from my seats, and I was just like, no fucking way that just happened.
Yeah. I mean, we started doing it. We started doing the street smart stuff, as Peter calls it.
You don't have to catch a ball that the opposing team throws to you. Mm-hmm. You get the ball yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, you want to throw it that way, I'll go get it.
Yep, absolutely. He was great. The whole back line was great. And,
us staying with Klaus the whole game. Klaus is the most dangerous person on that field.
Mm-hmm.
And Fontas was just like, you're mine, baby. That was it. Yep.
Fontas stole Christmas from Klaus.
He did.
I just thought of it. I had to do it.
I don't even know what that means, but I love
Santa Klaus.
Santa Klaus? What is that?
I assume that's how they say it in German. I don't know.
That is definitely German Santa.
But yeah, first
Eric Tommy's gonna be so pissed.
First 20 minutes, they were on the front foot. We weathered a couple set pieces. That was my biggest concern. And then Sporting started taking over around the 20th minute. I would say there was about a 10-minute transitional period where it was like, okay, this is a little more even. And then I thought for the last 15 minutes or so of the first half, Sporting Kansas City looked like they were definitely the stronger side. Suddenly, it felt like they got comfortable in the attack. If you look at the 5-minute interval possession charts on MLSsoccer.com, after the 20-minute mark, it suddenly switches in Sporting KC's favor quite favorably. We had the ball quite a bit in their attacking half.
Seemed that way. We didn't let them have it, that's for sure.
Didn't let them have it. And it just felt like, I don't know, man, if we could just get one goal before half, if we could go into this halftime up, it would totally change the mentality. Obviously, 0-0. I was feeling pretty confident if this were going to get to penalties that we had the advantage, but I didn't want to get there. So I'm just like,
I didn't want to get there.
If we can just get one, if we can steal one, and in the 45th minute, this absolute gorgeous play where Ndenbe's down in the corner, he plays a little give and go. There's Gadi Kinda. Daniel Shallowy does a world-class little flip and turn to Alan Pulido. And then as Alan Pulido is collecting the ball, you look at Logan Ndenbe. Before Pulido even catches the ball with his foot, Ndenbe's already making his run into the box. Pulido knows exactly where he's going. He flips it to him. Ndenbe fires it right past Berkey, lower right corner. Perfection. Playoff Logan is here.
Wolverine, baby. I find myself asking a lot of these times, where is Pulido on these big goal moments? Why isn't he around goal when a cross gets in? Like, why is it Pulido earning his money? Well, because he's earning it in this way.
Mm-hmm.
He's finding the open man. He's laying it off to the guy, and Pulido's like, you better not make an ass out of me and score the damn thing. Like, don't make me feel foolish. And Logan steps up and does it for his second career professional goal in as many games.
Yep. Well, if you watch exactly what happened, if you look and track Pulido, and I'm looking at it now at the replay on my screen, Gadi Kinda's got the ball. He hasn't even sent it to Daniel Shallow yet. Tim Parker is glued to Alan Pulido. They're playing man defense right now. Parker, you're on Pulido. That's it. The center back for St. Louis City. So when Daniel Shallow gets the ball, Alan Pulido drifts toward the side of the box. That pulls Tim Parker in with him. When Tim Parker comes with him, you know what? There isn't any defender near the penalty spot.
Nope.
He creates this wide open void where Logan runs right into. He runs right past Blom, who gets caught ball watching. He does not expect Logan Ndenbe to run by him. And now suddenly there is nobody between Berkey and Logan Ndenbe. And it's because Pulido pulls Tim Parker out because they know how dangerous he is.
And Logan hits that with his non-dominant foot.
Mm-hmm. His right foot.
It's insane.
Sends it right past Berkey. I mean, he's played something like 48 games professionally.
Yeah.
Scored two professional goals, and they just happen to be in the two playoff games against your biggest rival.
But he's also, like, in a position on the field that really doesn't get scoring opportunities. You know, he's not asked to do this.
No.
But this is confidence, dude. Confidence is coming to Logan, and he's going to do more. I mean, look for that in the next game.
You know, there was another left back that Sporting Kansas City once had who didn't score a lot of goals, but when he did, it tended to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And his name was Seth Sinovic. He was around for a while.
Big deal, man. We didn't know who was going to lock down this left back spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's been up in the air all season. And then finally, Logan and Ndenbe started getting more reps there.
Yep.
And it's his to lose.
Absolutely. Peter even said in the post game, he sort of was asked about Ndenbe. He goes, I'm very proud of him from the point of view that he didn't start off in the preseason all that good. He wasn't fit enough. He was different. We had a long talk, just a heart to heart. I have a lot of those, and I've had a lot of those over the years, and not everybody really listens. I'm always having those. If I have them, they're for the best for that person. Sometimes you get through, and sometimes you don't. He took it to heart. He really committed himself. He was disciplined, and he brought himself back to this place. Not me, him. He did a great job, and he has done nothing but been on a steady climb up for the season. I'm really proud of him.
Dude, you know, and everyone does this, by the way, when stoppage time is about to be announced. Everyone always in their head is like, what do you think? Probably 2-3 minutes. I thought there'd be 3 minutes because there was a good amount of stuff.
In the first half?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one,
and
I think.
It was one. And so I said to myself, man, that'd be crazy if we scored in this 1 minute. And it happened in like 3 seconds. Like the moment 1 minute was held up, he scores immediately.
Kostradamus.
I mean, dude, you just think of these things, right? It's just amazing. But hey, at least at halftime, St. Louis City had something to cheer for, the U.S. Air Force people.
They came out and they ripped off, they opened their flight jets, and they're all wearing Sporting KC gear, and they're pumping up the crowd, and
they had to
live it in the moment.
They had to stop their cheering. Like, the St. Louis people were like, yes, military, yes.
America.
And they ripped open their shit, and they were like, never mind, boo.
I have to imagine that. Okay, we're up 1-0 at the half. I feel a lot better than if it's 0-0, but you text me, you're like, gotta get more. We need, gotta get more.
Need more. You're not comfortable because if they come back and tie it and then it goes to penalties, momentum's still in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all know how this game ended up. I still wasn't comfortable with that. Like, it was scary,
the final whistle was blown and you didn't believe it.
I didn't understand. Oh, man, just wild.
Yeah, halftime. I'm feeling good, but I've been burned too many times.
Here's how I equate it. Okay, St. Louis City is like Brock Lesnar, and you have got. Did I tell you this already?
You text me this at halftime.
Okay, you're in a last man standing match. You have to keep your opponent down to the count of 10, but you've got to throw tables on him and chairs. And ladders, so he's got shit stacked on him. That's St. Louis, dude. You need to stack 3 or 4 goals on him because they can get back up and come at you. They scored
four goals in 12 minutes? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's a goal every 3 minutes. So I, being up even later, I was like, dude, until it's like in the 89th minute and we're up by 2 or 3, I'm not comfortable.
And we've been on the flip side of this where we were down 3-1 in like the 78th minute and came back and won 4-3 with just 6 minutes of stoppage time that was added against Vancouver back in like 2015.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're taking it back.
At Children's Mercy Park.
Yeah.
So we've seen it happen both ways. I turned to Chad Smith next to me when we were up in the second half and we're trying to figure out how much stoppage time. You're calculating this was before the Rosario injury. We're thinking like, okay, I don't know, 5-6 minutes. And I was like, if we get to stoppage and we have a 2-goal lead with 5 minutes to go, I will be cautiously optimistic. I was like, that
didn't happen, bro.
Before we even got there, Sporting again, largely controlling the second half.
Team goal coming.
Holy cow. And it all starts because there's a giveaway from St. Louis. Johnny Russell gets the ball, busts his ass down the right sideline. A perfect little outside touch off his left foot to Gadi Kinda, and I was worried that Gadi would be a little bit of a ball hog and be selfish, try to beat Berkey on the near post. Nope, absolutely perfectly plays the ball across the face of goal to a wide open Daniel Shallowy, who kicks it into the net. almost. It kind of bounced off Berkey's hand, gave me a little bit of a scare, but it's still, in the end, it all counts the same. It's a one, and it's a goal, 2-0. The ball went right through Celio's legs, I think. The Gotti keen to pass. He kind of nutmegged him.
But the unselfishness from Gotti right there, like Gotti could have absolutely tried to slip it by Berkey, but he knew, he had that awareness that Daniel was coming, dude. Daniel's right there. And I kind of wish Daniel wouldn't have just nonchalantly slid it into the goal. Like, you probably should have blasted that, Daniel. That almost got blocked.
Well, he did. He did redirect it probably a little too close to the center of the goal. Now, of course,
yeah,
it counted. So we're being a little nitpicky, but
he put it
almost in the only place that Berkey could have saved it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but Gotti, if you look at his approach as he's driving toward Berkey, he looks up at the goal. And then he looks back down at the box, and that look up at the goal, that little glance with his eyes, is just enough to freeze Berkey in his spot, because you can see him lean, thinking that Gotti might go near post. And that ultimately is what ends up causing the goal to count, because if Berkey didn't have that little moment of freezing, I think he would have got there and blocked Chalowee's shot.
I think so, too. Quick side note, Daniel was owning the St. Louis City right back.
Oh, my God.
All night. Him right back. He was up in that ass. He was owning him, dude. He was taking him out to lunch.
He and Johnny both were just getting behind.
He was up in that ass, baby.
He and Johnny both were getting behind the fullbacks, getting behind the back line all night. And Johnny had a couple opportunities. Sporting just couldn't find that final ball. But, I mean, it was pretty clear that the fullbacks had no answer for either Chalowee or Johnny Russell.
I know.
So,
oh, man. Just, it feels so sweet. And I start thinking, too, like, looking ahead, I know we got another goal coming, but looking ahead, it's like, oh, my God. Everyone's like, who would you rather play, Houston or RSL? And it's like, it doesn't fucking matter, because what we just did was something we did not think would happen. Like, this is a huge compliment to St. Louis, man. Mm-hmm. We didn't think we could do this. So it's like, when you do this, you can do that. You can do anything. I mean, even if you were to go all the way and face Supporters Shield FC Cincinnati, who we almost beat in League's Cup, for God's sakes. Like, you have to believe.
Yep.
You have to believe in this team right now, which now I'm going to cry. Because the belief wasn't there all year, man. You could literally go on Twitter and pull up people's posts. I'm done with Sporting. I'm canceling my season tickets. Okay, see ya. I'm glad it took a little adversity for you to give up on something you love.
Yeah. It's wild. And Peter addressed that. He was like, 95% of the fans stuck with us and they loved it. He knows it's not the majority.
He's, it's like 5%. So, I guarantee you they like divorce the first chance there's an argument. I guarantee you they quit their job the first time they get a bad performance review. Like, you don't see anything through. This is sports, man. Shit happens.
Yeah. And I mean, it's made it that much sweeter that we weren't. I would have loved to have been a dominant team all year. But but the narrative that this has created, especially when St. Louis City was considered the Cinderella team, like you can even go on MLSsoccer.com and the story about him was the clock strikes midnight on St. Louis City season because they're the Cinderella. Jillian Sakrimitz and others are picking them to win MLS Cup. It's not a shot at her specifically, but she's just the first one that popped in my mind that she picked St. Louis City.
Bad pick. Bad pick.
She was like, why? They've been doing it. Why would they stop now?
Because you're not looking at the analytics. So you're not looking at the numbers. Luckily, I got my guy Jimmy here, who's been saying it for months.
But to watch winless in 10 games, winless in the first 10 games, nobody's ever done that. And then to become statistically the best team in the league from May on, and then to carry that form. How often in Sporting KC playoff history over the last 6, 7, 8 years have we gotten to the playoffs, maybe as a 2-seed, 3-seed, 4-seed, occasionally a 1-seed, but we didn't finish the regular season strong.
Exactly.
We got hot in the summer. We had a little bit of a lull, and then we lost on decision day. Even though we didn't need a win, we lost. It could have been a better seed, and we lost, or just something happened, and we didn't quite finish as strong. The opposite happened in this season, where the last 3-4 games were basically playoff games of the regular season, so you had to finish strong and keep that momentum going.
I need you to do a little math here, and I think things shifted when Mr. Nick Springer became our producer.
There you go.
I'm just saying, do some math here. What month was that? Like, shit went shit went up. Nick came on and everyone's like, let's get serious here.
Yeah, he's okay.
Joined at the end of May. That's when shit was going up.
Correlation, causation, God. Who's to say?
Goddamn. Rock chalk, baby. That's exciting.
Shout out to Jordan. No shots fired at you. But back to the game.
Things, Jordan. I didn't even think. Yeah, I'm not firing shots here. I do love Jordan.
Things got a little scary in the 81st minute because I'm gonna be honest. I think Danny Rosero was lucky to not get a red card.
Yeah.
He goes in on this challenge on Celio, I think it is. He leaves his feet, two-footed, somehow breaks his face, and takes down... I don't know yet. I'm going to talk about that in a second.
Neither does Peter.
Takes down the St. Louis player. He gets a yellow card straight away. And at first, I thought Rosero was doing the thing where, like, you know you screwed up, so you're laying down, you're trying to be like you're hurt because maybe I can get a little sympathy and then I'm not going to get a red card. And I honest to God, I'm watching that, and I'm like, he's lucky he got a little bit of the ball first, even though it really shouldn't matter, because that was could have pretty easily been a straight red card.
You want to know something wild? There are two different fan bases in that stadium last night. There were fans that booed when a player was down with a head injury or a face injury. Yeah. And then when a St. Louis City player was down with a head injury, crickets. No one boos someone that's holding their heads.
Yeah.
Okay? So let's talk about class some more. Let's get on that capo stand. Let's boo a player with a head injury. Class. Just saying.
Well, and you could tell it was serious because they brought out the stretcher, and they didn't do the thing where they bring out the stretcher, and as soon as the stretcher gets on the field, the guy miraculously makes a recovery and doesn't need the stretcher. They actually put him on the stretcher. And he was down for a while, and you could tell they were doing something, I assume, around his nose.
Yeah.
Put him on the stretcher. They stretcher him to the locker room. And I actually, we're recording this Monday night. I actually did message the club on Monday evening to try to get an update on Danny Rosero's injury. They did not have one at the time. The team was off today. They said they'll have more information later in the week. So at least as of this recording, we don't have any more information than Peter provided in postgame, which was none. And just was like, I'm sure he'll be fine.
I'm sure he'll be fine.
But I haven't seen anybody actually say this yet. So maybe I'm reporting something here that nobody else has said. We do go into the locker room after, right? After the postgame presser. I go in there, and I didn't see Danny Rosero's face. I wasn't going to bug him because he seemed like he was in a lot of pain. He was in a lot of discomfort. And Robert Castellanos was having to help him get his shirt on, get his jacket on, put like his bag over his head. Castellanos was over there very delicately helping Danny Rosero get situated and get dressed again. So whatever happened clearly shook up Rosero for the rest of the evening. Hopefully he'll be okay, but
could
it was
be a concussion, man.
I hope,
man.
Not.
At that point, you start looking like, hey, I'm grateful for this, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off situation.
Yeah. So this we don't know more. For all I know, it could have been a broken nose.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot of things, but
they got masks for that.
But he, whatever did happen to Rosero, was serious enough that he got stretchered off, and he had to have Castellanos sort of help him get situated. And shout out to Castellanos because the rest of his team's over there jumping up and down, celebrating and whatnot, and he's over there taking care of his buddy. So
also shout out to Castellanos who had to come in,
whew,
in a big moment.
Oh my
God. This man has he's barely seen the green this year, but
he's
this moment
just
was like
getting the balls and clearing them off, and
had to.
Yeah,
your playoff lives depends on it. You have no choice but to go out there and be your best.
It was wild. Even before Rosero went out, I asked Fontas about this. It felt like every clearance meant so much to that defense.
Fontas said that.
I asked him about it because they're chest bumping and they're screaming at each other and they're hugging, and every single time one of them did something, they were just fired the hell up, unlike I've seen them. And I asked him, he was like, you're right, because we knew with every clearance we were getting closer to something.
Like a bunch of linebackers back there, man, just getting jacked up. I knew it. I got scared every set piece. I was like, great,
oh my God,
set piece, here we go. Oh great, another corner kick. We're not even acknowledging Tim Melia saving our life on
Tim
a direct header.
Oh my God, Klaus had a header that he went straight down. And
knew it was going straight down, apparently, or he's some freaking voodoo. He did it perfectly. Like, what?
Yeah. He couldn't gather it, but he did it enough, and then it was cleared out. And that's the thing. Sporting were able to clear the ball, because that's kind of what happened in the Tim Parker goal last week, is they couldn't quite clear the ball. It fell around in the box, and he kicked it on frame. That's what's dangerous about set pieces. And they were clearing it, able to get it out every single time. They were taking no chances, even to the point where Castellanos, Peter must have told him when he went in, I don't care. Don't take any chances. Just boot the hell out of the ball. Because there was one point where he booted the hell out of the thing to the other side. I was like, he probably had like 20 yards of space. He could have settled it and probably kept it. He was not taking any chances.
Doesn't matter. Just get him down there. Waste time. Whatever you got to do, man, just fire it out. Another comparison I noticed is St. Louis fans do not like Mr. Stroud. They don't like him at all. I heard a lot of chatter. Fucking Stroud. Fuck Stroud's a piece of shit. And then when he got subbed off, people were laughing very loudly. Like they were so excited for his night to end.
Oh, interesting. He's kind of one of their mainstays.
Yeah, he is. I also heard a lot of Sporting sucks dick. And I got to tell you, you were the dick suckers because you lost.
Nothing wrong with it either.
Yeah.
To each their own.
I mean, whatever.
It's just, I don't understand. Like, it's weird to turn on your own players like that.
Let's be careful. There's a lot of people who don't like Kyrie Shelton for some reason.
Hey, he came in and he alleviated, because Johnny busted his ass down the entire freaking field to play some defense. And then Kyrie was like,
let me come help out.
Yeah, and then because Johnny was dead tired. 85th minute. 86th minute, I should say. They have a set piece. It almost gets cleared. Blom sends it out wide to Celio Pompeo. And he sends in this cross that is such a bad cross. It is so far over the head of Tim Parker.
It is bad cross.
So far out of the way that it's like when you fire up a three-pointer and it banks in because you were so bad it was good. That's exactly what happened on this cross.
Outstanding. So much so that you can't even like, I mean, for one, you're not going to celebrate because you're losing. So they got to go get the ball and get it back to the center line. But even if that went in, I guarantee you this man would have just been like, oh, that go in?
I saw it at first. And I was like, God damn, what a golazo. And then I look at it again. I'm like, he's not doing that.
That's definitely not a shot.
So it was frustrating.
It hung up there. It wasn't even windy or nothing. So it wasn't curving.
And that's why Tim kind of got beat the way he did, because it wasn't a shot. Tim was in position where he could slide over and block whatever shot was supposed to come off the header that Pompeo was trying to get it to.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
You know our buddy Chris, right? Who does currently with me?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love this. They chant their STL. You know, they bang the drum. And on the drum, I was yelling, sucks. Sucks. You know, it was very much like wrestling, like what they do in wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Cena sucks. But, and I did it a few times and then I stopped. And it was all quiet. Chris goes, sucks. Oh, it unintentionally left him hanging. And he was so mad, dude. I turned to Marissa. I go, Chris is mad at me.
You want to get a wrestling chant going? You need to take the LA Knight and turn it to SKC. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that one going.
Why do you know that? I love that.
I still get him on TikToks and such. I know it's got, I see it every once in a while.
I love that. That's great.
So we get that goal. We're like, okay, just get through, stop. I'm thinking, at this point, I thought, I don't know, 8 minutes? Because I knew Rosero was down. Giacchini had gone down 12. For a while. Sure as hell didn't think 12.
Nah.
And I was talking to somebody who was to the right of me in the press box, and I'm not accusing any shenanigans of happening.
Yeah.
Not 30 seconds before they put up the 12-minute sign, I look at him and I'm like, what do you think? And he goes, I saw him light up the sign, because you know sometimes they light up the sign for like a hot second,
sure,
to make sure it all,
see if it's working.
He goes, I saw a single digit on there. So he goes, really? So I know we're not in double digits.
Huh.
Well, then I see a St. Louis staff member go up to that official, and he's got a piece of paper in his hand, and he's kind of going through some stuff, talking, and he walks away and he's kind of nodding, and then they put up 12. So I don't know if anything changed. I don't know if that St. Louis staff member went over and was like going through like, okay, there's 4 minutes here and 2 minutes here and 3 minutes here and that. But
what?
12 minutes is a long time.
Very long time. Very long time. Dude, more time for people to keep drinking their beers, because that, like I said, man, there was a there were a couple scary supporters over there trying to fight people. I'm not lying. One guy was lit. Like, it's kind of a family section too, where it's not a rowdy section over there.
That's the more family-oriented area.
There's children there, right? And one guy was, like, really cursing at this dude, and this other guy was like, what happened? I didn't do anything. Like, it was so wild. I didn't understand it, but I just started thinking, like, okay, if something pops off here, what's the goal? Like, I know Chris knows a little jiu-jitsu. That might get a little wild.
Okay.
I'll be like, get him, Chris.
Hold me back.
I'm in triangle choke, Chris.
You just start doing the chest slaps.
He would. Chris would be like, and night-night.
12 minutes, man. And they weathered the storm. There were some chances, and then there was a little bit more stoppage because I think Daniel went down at one point. When it was all said and done, it was close to 15 minutes of stoppage before Elfath blew the whistle. It was scary.
Yeah, it really was. I kept looking at my watch. You know, there was another 2 minutes added on for an injury. Just rough, dude. At the end of the day, though, ooh, sweet relief.
We got there.
Voice was a little raspy at work today. Are you guys allowed to cheer yet up in the press box, or did you have to really contain your excitement here?
No cheering allowed, although I will say on that
playoffs, you need an exemption.
On that second goal that Daniel Shalloway scored, gave a little fist bump at my side.
Just a fist bump?
What
happens if you guys cheer up there?
I'm not going to call me a rebel, but I get a little fist bump up my side.
just a little Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
What happens if you guys cheer?
You can get kicked out.
Journalistic etiquette, huh?
Yeah. You can get your credentials revoked.
Jokes on you guys. We're not even real media people.
they do take it pretty seriously.
Wow.
Especially when more national media is there.
Sure.
But yeah, it's and I've heard that, you know, there are different countries have
there,
different
etiquette
and such, but
you ask me, you're like, hey, you feel free to come up there. I'm like, I just can't. I can't find it in myself. I wouldn't be able to control it, I don't think. Yeah. It's that urge that comes over you as a sports fan that you just can't help it.
It's a different vibe. You kind of have to train yourself not to do it.
Well, it's one thing for basketball or football. You know, there's goals, there's scores all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, it's soccer's different, dude.
Because they come out of nowhere.
When a goal happens, it might be the only goal, and it's everything. It just means that much more. Basketball has many goals.
Yeah.
You know.
So it was, man. They did it. They pulled it off. When they all lined up in front of the cauldron and sang "When the Wiz Come Marching In," it was such a good moment. And then in the locker room, they were all so happy, man, and understandably so. And I just want to read a couple of quotes from Johnny Russell, because he in particular as captain, he was saying, I couldn't be more proud to play on this team, to be a part of this team, to be their captain, just to be a part of this. It's up there with the most enjoyable things in my career. And then he had a longer version of this quote too, but he essentially said, you know, we still haven't done anything. We've proved a lot of people wrong, but why stop now? And he goes on to say, we've shown we can win on the road now. We've shown we have that capability. We're going to have to do it. So why wouldn't we be able to keep doing it? So it's going to be tough, though, because you mentioned 3-week break. It's going to be RSL or it's going to be Houston. We might know when you're listening to this, we might already know it's Houston. But if RSL wins, there's a game 3 on Saturday. So
exciting, man. They're playing right now, aren't they? Didn't they start?
8 p.m. Central. So, you know, getting ready to. But it's... Peter said that 3-week break, he's not even sure how he's going to manage it. He was like, I'm going to have to think about it. I'm going to take a couple days to do that because it's new and it's going to be very difficult to navigate. He said there's an international break where Gotti's probably going to leave. And he's going to have to manage that in a very unique ways. I have some ideas, but I'm not ready to share. But this is not going to be an easy thing to navigate, especially depending on what everybody else does and who we wind up having to play. If they play a third game, they have less time than we do. 2 weeks is good to have off. 3 is going to be tough to navigate.
Yeah.
So,
dude, it's going to be really weird. I mean, but I was just literally talking about the same stuff with Chris about the NWSL playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of making our picks for the finals. And I originally, I picked OL Reign and Gotham in the finals. I was like, I don't know, man. That just sounds so, like, marvelous. Mm-hmm. And then I questioned myself. So I was like, they took a week off for international break. They took a week off. That felt you know, felt like that could hinder them. Mm-hmm. So I switched. But they both made it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm staying positive for Sporting, man. It might not mess them up all that much.
I mean, the bummer is, like, form is such a huge thing in soccer. Like, you want to keep good form going. At the same time, Sporting have been playing at such arguably, like, a breakneck pace of, like, essentially, like we said, being in the playoffs for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the regular season, and then continuing to play in the actual playoffs. Now, Danny Rosero, whatever's going on with him, that three-week break will be huge, hopefully, to get him healthy, because he's this dude, I mean, he's just been – we talked about how nervy it can be when he's got the ball at his feet. Something flipped the last couple of weeks, and he's making people look silly. Not quite as silly as Logan and Dembe made when he made somebody straight up fall down, and then they looked like they just wanted – it was like a Southwest ad, want to get away, because they looked so sad.
Dude, but. I love when our players do stuff, because it's like, yeah, we got great players too. Like, y'all want to harp on your great goalkeeper of the year. Well, guess what? Your goalkeeper of the year just let in 6 goals in 2 games. Where's he at? You know?
It's what you know, we had some fun on Twitter. You know,
were you fighting with people?
No, we weren't fighting with people.
Well, okay. Excuse me for thinking you might do that, because you would.
I did call out one St. Louis City fan who tweeted you know, about 5 days ago, if City lose this Sunday, I swear I'll leave the whole country.
Yeah, so where's he headed?
I tweeted a waving goodbye gif, and he was like, I swear to God, I could make this flight to London right now, and then like put up a picture of like departing flights. So, you know,
that's good banter though, right? Like, as
long as fun.
If we're safe and we're not like attacking people's, like,
sure,
I don't know, looks,
there's a limit
control, you know, it's one thing to attack someone because he got up on the capo stand. Like, that's a different thing. But it's like, I don't know. That's funny. He's like, I'll do it. I'll leave the country.
I told you I wouldn't. I would.
But our guy did want to give a shit for like not making the trip to St. Louis. I assume he came to the game.
Doesn't seem like he did.
He didn't make it.
No.
Well, that's wild. Real wild. Real crazy. Best friends now, and he didn't make it.
My favorite banter though was courtesy of Jimmy Conrad. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Jimmy Conrad, sporting legend, if you will.
Yeah. Literally.
Quite literally a sporting legend. He tweeted, you know, what's the best way to catch all the tears that will be coming from St. Louis City tonight after they get knocked
out
of the MLS Cup playoffs? And he was like, oh, this aged so well. And a St. Louis fan comes up and he goes, your location says San Francisco, dude. Anyone who moves away no longer has an opinion. That goes for any team in any sport. And Jimmy, just perfectly, he goes, I played for the club for 8 years and I'm in their Hall of Fame. I always get to have an opinion.
That's also an asinine thing to say. You mean if your work transferred you, like, you're not allowed to be a fan of your team?
You live in Topeka. You can't root for the Chiefs anymore.
That's crazy. Like, this person was just trying to be confrontational for some reason.
And must not. I mean, for all that soccer history that St. Louis has.
You don't know who this man
is? Sure don't know who Jimmy Conrad is.
Unbelievable.
U.S. men's national team player. Literal sporting legend.
Dude. He gave me a jersey one time. Remember that?
I do remember that.
That was a hell of a time. And then I was like, "Hey, want to be on our podcast?" And then I got ghosted.
maybe we'll circle back.
Circle back. We got a couple off weeks coming up.
Hey, we could do it. We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do.
That happened. That can be wild.
And then the only other thing I want to point out, because I know we're getting kind of long here, but Taylor Twellman. He's a St. Louis guy. He literally put on a St. Louis scarf before the first game that we played down there. They were doing their old thing.
He's a big pile of barf when it comes to that stuff.
He tweeted this out, and so I want to give him credit where credit's due. He goes, to Sporting KC and your fans, today's experience was something else. I'd put that up against anything I've seen or been a part of. You should be very proud for pushing your team forward, and to the players, fist bump, strong emoji.
Why does he get all presidential? Like we need to know what he feels about.
He's hilarious on Twitter because he'll say stuff like that, and then he'll get in like fights, and then delete the tweets real quick. But
yeah, exactly. So why do we care? That sounds so presidential. Like, you all should be proud of your team. Who are you?
I mean,
we know you're a legend and a broadcaster, but also you were literally saying Peter Vermees needs to make some subs. Sporting KC has been flat all this half.
This is
true. And Daniel Shallowy scored before you could finish that sentence.
Yeah.
Like, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Go watch the highlights, people. So funny.
So now Sporting will go on to face the winner of the Houston and RSL series. Do you have a preference, honestly, between who we play between those two?
No. Why? Like I said, why does it even matter now? Like, it doesn't matter, dude. Bring on anybody. We'll take on two teams at once because we are just beating people we have no business beating.
And well, we did beat RSL. Granted, Justin Glad got a red card in like the third minute. But
true. And Johnny Russell did not play that game.
Johnny Russell did not play. But so on the field, maybe you don't have a preference. From a fan experience preference, if you were going to go to either the games, which we think it's going to be either the Saturday or Sunday following Thanksgiving, we don't know yet, but that's the rumor I'm hearing.
Well, Houston probably.
You would rather get, Houston's probably easier to get to.
It's less travel for the fans and the team.
Mm-hmm.
It makes more sense.
And we know there will be no home fans in the stands.
That's true. Sporting will travel. They right now, people have an idea of when these games are. They have mentioned it's like November 25th, and then the conference finals are December 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
So people are having time to, you know, maybe it'll be decided tonight. Maybe you're listening to this right now, and it's already decided who it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But Houston would be my pick. However, I've never been to either one, though I would love to try to travel for this game if it's possible. Maybe get you out of Thanksgiving with your family. That's always fun.
I think I would prefer Houston. I like the way Sporting matches up with them a little bit because Houston plays that Benny Ball style where they just kind of they don't have a lot of an attacking threat. And I think Sporting's offense has been firing on all cylinders a lot more lately, and they're playing a lot more creative team soccer in the attacking third. So I think they're able to, you know, do a lot more than just whip in hopeful crosses like they were earlier in this year. There can be a 20-30 pass buildup with a late runner in the box, and they maybe can steal a goal or two on the road in Houston. RSL, they have a little bit more of an attacking threat, but we can beat either one.
And once it's decided, we'll obviously do a little bit of a deep dive on the matchup in general, but that's the thing, man. You just said it. We can beat either one.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just proved that we can beat the number one freaking team.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at who's left in the playoff bracket, I think Sporting Kansas City can go toe-to-toe with any of these teams on our best day. I'm not saying it would be easy, but Cincinnati, like you said, we almost beat them when they were playing a full-strength lineup and we weren't quite at full strength as part of League's Cup in Cincinnati. Columbus or Atlanta, I think we could do it. Philly or New England, I think we could do it. Orlando or Nashville, none of these teams scare me all that much. The two that scare me the most, honestly, are the Western Conference teams, LAFC and Seattle. Yeah, we've gotten results both at both stadiums on the road.
LAFC is dangerous. They have some pieces. They're very dangerous. But, dude, guys, just sit back and enjoy this ride.
Yeah.
Like, it's a couple weeks now with no stress, nothing going on.
Yeah,
just enjoy what's to come, because remember this, at the end of the day, we're not even supposed to be here.
Yeah,
we were counted out in May.
Yeah,
and then Nick Springer joined the podcast. Shit is just crazy.
You mentioned LAFC has some pieces. Did you see the wildness that happened at the end of their game? Did you see this highlight?
I did not. Was that last night?
Yes, it was Sunday night. Vancouver, it was the 93rd minute. Vancouver was down 1-0. They get a corner. They send the ball in. It's not really cleared. It's just kind of a slow dribbler to the top of the box. Vancouver is about to fire a shot off. The ref gets in the way of the Vancouver player, knocks him on his ass, and then LAFC gets the ball, springs for a counter the entire opposite way. Vancouver's on an open net, and then Carlos Vela lays the ball off to Dennis Bwanga, who puts it into the back of the net and seals the game. Turns out he was offside, so the goal actually got called back. But the ball should have been blown dead when the ref knocked the Vancouver player down for a drop ball. He didn't do it. And I thought, honestly, the Vancouver players were about to fight him on the field because they're all grabbing him and pushing him and whatnot. It was a disaster of a refereeing moment.
Oh, no.
You should go watch it. The Vancouver coach got a red card. He threatened to murder the ref after the game in the post-game press conference.
I did hear that. Didn't he say something like he'll find him at the bottom of Lake whatever?
Yeah. So it was wild, but hopefully that doesn't happen.
Who won?
LAFC won. Yeah.
Okay. And they're moving on. Like they beat them 2-0.
They beat them. Yep.
Okay.
So,
well, you guys just enjoy this shit. This isn't even for us. And here we are.
And the only other thing that's not playoff related that I do want to mention just because it's funny is Timbers fans are mad at the Timbers again. So else is new? They hired Phil Neville as their new manager, who was terrible at Miami. Also, look into his Twitter history. Has some pretty terribly misogynistic stuff he said before. Jokes about domestic violence. Pretty terrible. So Timbers are mad. Don't do that. So just to enjoy, you know, sometimes it's better to not have to be on a coaching search. And it's good to have a guy who's been here for a while and seems to know what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's about it, my friend. You got anything else?
No, dude. It's just, I'm just in awe. I'm just shocked at everything. And I'm just happy to be on this ride with you, man, because we thought this shit was done, and the playoff stash has done its job thus far. So let's
keep it going.
Keep it going. Keep oiling it up, you know, keeping it shining.
Let's do it. Well, we got a little bit of a break here, but we'll be back. We're maybe try to get some interviews, get this thing going, do a deep dive into who we're playing next. But we'll be back next week. If you're a new listener, you just found us. Thank you. Welcome aboard. Hope you stick along. This is a fun ride to be on. If you've been with us for a while, if you left us a 5-star rating and review, thank you for doing so. We appreciate it. Make sure you do it wherever you get your podcasts, particularly on Apple. That helps us out quite a bit. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram, at nootherpod, at Dan Kuser, at jcmac03. Shoot us an email, nootherpod@gmail.com. And check us out on YouTube. You can see Dan's sweet playoff stash at KCSN Soccer on YouTube or on the Kansas City Sports Network app. But until next time, he's Dan. I'm Jimmy. We'll catch y'all later. See ya.
And remember, KC is better than St. Louis always.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.